Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one-coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor, Charlie Epps. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Welcome into the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon on SB Nation Radio, 1560 AM locally. It's presented by Insperity, inspiring small business performance. You can reach them at 800-465-3800, insperity.com. It's just me in studio. We've got Charlie down in Casa de Campo. Bill Harmon's in from Palm Springs on the line. Welcome in, guys.
Good morning, Scott. Sorry, I panicked this morning. I got back with time difference, and I know I woke Billy up way too early. So, but it's good to be with you guys, and it's beautiful down here in Casa de Campo.
How you doing today, Bill?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys.
Hey, you know, Charlie, it's crazy. We left out of here last Saturday, and there was ice, and it's 80 degrees, buddy. How what's your temperature down in Casa de Campo right now?
Morning, it's sunny, a little cloudy, about 80. It's going to be about 85 today. Beautiful day for golf. We're going to play in a golf tournament with my friends, benefiting the charity of the owner of Casa de Campo, Mr. Fangul. So life is good down here. It's not quite as pretty as Palm Springs.
No.
But, we're hanging in there, Bill.
I don't know. We've been having a lot of rain, Charlie, so we're having an interesting winter, but... sounds like you're having a great time there down in Casa de Campo. Are you going to be moving there for a while, or what's your deal down there now?
Well, we're discussing a few options right now. I'm not ready to announce anything, but I've got a childhood friend that lives here, and we play golf every day, and we're talking about a couple of little options, but hopefully here in the near future I'll be able to announce something.
Well, great. Are you playing with Alfie Fangul?
Well, it's his charity. His wife and himself put an annual charity here at Casa de Campo, raise money for needy charities and so on and so forth. So we'll be playing golf at the country club, and then we'll go to his house for dinner. And his house is named the Big House.
Well, tell him I said hi, because when I was caddying for Jay Hotch, he and... Alfie and Jay won the Bing Crosby one year, the Pro-Am part. I was caddying for Jay.
I've done that, and we saw him the other day, and he says, "Do you still see Bill Harmon?" And I said, "I sure do." So he sends his best also. So he's been harmonized, let's just say.
Small world.
Hey, guys. Go ahead. Yeah, I got a break. I got to ask you this question. 2017 scores so far from Justin Thomas, 67, 67, 69, 59, 64. How does that rate in just the start of a year?
Sounds a little bit like Johnny Miller back in the day when he would shoot lights out at the either the Bob Hope Classic, Phoenix, or Tucson. One of the things that I've been observing with him is he seems to be demanding a lot of himself also. When he misses putts or something, he's expecting a lot of himself right now, and that tells me that he's very, very confident. He's driving the ball so far, it's unbelievable, and he's really just kind of decimating these golf courses. So he's a young player that right now is on fire. You know, I've been touting Matsuyama here for a while because he'd won 4 out of 5 events, but Justin Thomas took him down last week at Kapalua. He's taking everybody down this week. It'll be interesting to see how he handles the weekend, because golf can be pretty fickle. Not everything goes your way all the time. He's making golf look easy now, but maybe one day he might drive it offline and it's right up against that tree instead of have a perfect opening to the green. So I'll be very interested to see how he does this weekend, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's
Hey, Bill and Scott, you know what it reminds me of is the year at Lanny Watkins, about 84, 85, 57 under, winning L.A. and the Hope. And I mean, he was just killing it. And he came into Houston to take a lesson from Dick, and your dad was still alive then. And he says, Dick, the only thing you got to make sure Lanny knows how to do is to go to the bank in a different way. He don't touch his swing. Remember that, Bill?
Oh, I do remember that. But, you know, when you get very gifted players and everything is going right, they make the game look easy. And then the golfing public assumes that they're going to do this every day. I don't make that assumption.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think it'll be a very interesting weekend for him because everything right now is going in his favor. And it'll be interesting if he has a couple of hiccups to see what happens. But he handled the hiccups very good last week at Kapalua when he almost gave the tournament away. So, obviously, a very impressive player. From what I understand, a very nice young man. And the game is in good shape right now. The young players are so good, and they handle themselves beautifully. So I'm very encouraged by the state of professional golf these days.
Well said. Hey, Bill, I did want to ask you your opinion on this, and both of you, Charlie, also. When he completed the round after shooting 59, they asked him, you know, would you rather win this golf tournament or shoot 59? And his comment was he wanted to shoot 59. He said he feels like he's going to win a bunch of golf tournaments. I don't know how many chances you get to shoot 59. What does that tell you about his mindset? Is it just kind of echo what you just said, or does that surprise you? I'd love both y'all's thoughts on that.
Well, I think that
first all,
go ahead, Bill.
No, Jackie Burke says, you know, you don't look for those tournaments. You just go out there and play. You start thinking about winning tournaments, it's going to get in the way. You just go out and shoot the best you can every day and see what happens. Don't worry about the results. Just go out and play golf.
Well, in the history of the game, you know, there's going to be a tournament winner every week this year on the PGA Tour. Not everybody's going to shoot 59. There's only been seven or eight rounds in the 50s in the history of the game. So I understood what he was saying. You know, I think the easy thing to say would to be the win. But he's a 22 or 3-year-old kid who's riding high, and he just did something that very, very few people have never done. Tiger's never done it. Nicklaus never did it. Palmer never did it. Hogan. So I understood what he was saying. I wouldn't make too much of it. But the fact of the matter is, what he accomplished has been accomplished by very, very few players in the history of the game.
And 123 for the first two rounds. I mean, that's just it has to be an amazing. I mean, what's going on between him and his caddy when he shoots 59 and he comes back and shoots another 6-under the next day? Is there a lot of conversation, do you think? And, I'm asking you to speculate there between both of you.
Well, I'll just say this. The best thing a caddy can do is have a good player. So I'm sure Jimmy Johnson's a wonderful caddy, and I'm sure he's been very helpful. But my experience is a good caddy and a bad player is still a bad player, and a good player and a bad caddy is still a good player. So the first thing you got to do if you're going to caddy on the tour is get a good player. And Jimmy's a very accomplished caddy. He's got a very good player. There's no doubt that he's been helpful to him, but he's not the reason they're shooting 123. Justin Thomas is the reason.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just like pitching a perfect game in baseball. I mean, you have days where everything is just going to come out right. So that'll probably be the only 59 he shoots this year. But you never know. I mean, this kid's good, but, you know, you got to move on. But the thing I just read on the computer is that McIlroy had to withdraw from the tournament over in South Africa because of a bad back. How about that? Didn't finish the tournament. I mean, him and Jason Day and Tiger Woods, they're doing all this weightlifting.
Yeah.
Justin Rose.
I don't think it's the game of golf that's hurting their back. It's this weightlifting stuff that they tweak it. And they really got to revisit their workout program because lifting weights is a difficult thing to control. You got to be careful.
Well, it's an interesting phenomenon because the four people you talked about are four of the most fit athletes playing professional golf: Tiger, Justin Rose, Jason Day, and Rory. And the one thing they have in common is they're on the disabled list all the time. And I think the jury is still out on this. I'm not too sure all the physical fitness people understand what they're doing yet. Not their fault. It's rather new to professional golf, but the bottom line is, I don't know. It could be also technique combined with the working out, Charlie. You know, I think Randall Chamblee brings up some interesting points in his book.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon on SB Nation Radio, 1560 AM in Houston. It's presented by Insperity, inspiring small business performance. 800-465-3800 or Insperity.com. We've got Bill calling in from Palm Springs. Charlie's calling in from Casa de Campo. Hey, Bill, as we were going to the break, you were talking about the difference between physical therapy or balancing the weightlifting, and Charlie brought it up. And maybe swing mechanics. We talked about Rory being hurt. Do you want to finish that comment about your feelings concerning the regimen that these guys are putting themselves through versus their golf swing?
Well, I always thought that physical fitness was to prevent injuries, not to create injuries. And I think that we have a generation of young players now that are incredibly fit. Charlie's been out on tour a lot more than I, but he's seen them in person, and they have unbelievable swing speed, and it makes me wonder if the support systems in the body can take all of this speed and power. And as of right now, we have a lot of very, very good young players that seem to be one swing away from ending their careers. So, and I just don't recall seeing this in years past with the older players who seemed to take more hip turn, lifted the left heel. They didn't have this distance through resistance swing where the hips don't turn and the shoulders turn against the lower body and stuff. And I'm not a doctor. I'm observing this. But I've just never seen a group of young players that are constantly injured like these players are. So I just think it has to be revisited. I don't know enough about it to make a statement on it, but we're starting to get a pretty good sample size of these young kids being injured, and I just don't get it. I just have never. To me, it's almost unprecedented in our sport. See, this many quality players, really good players we're talking about, Tiger, Rory, Jason Day, Justin Rose, and they constantly have back problems, and maybe it's a coincidence, but I'm tending to think that it is not. What are your thoughts, Joe? I think it's part physical fitness and part swing.
Well, we got to be in golf shape. We don't have to be in Olympic shape. You know, you're not getting ready to run the marathon or you know, you've got to really watch it. You got to be able to stretch your muscles. You know, the only great player that in the past 40 years that really had back trouble was Lee Trevino. And that was because he got hit by lightning. So, you know, you really, you know, now, you know, Jack Nicklaus, he lasted 60 years and sure he had a hip replacement. But weightlifting is very, very, very complicated. And all it has, you lift something three times your weight, you can tweak that back. And that's what's happening. So they better watch out. So, you know, I'm in better golf shape than they are.
That's an awesome statement, which kind of leads us to the theme.
Easy now, Charlie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
Hey, Charlie, you brought up last week, you talked about the beginning of the year, and you talked about quality practice. You know, would you guys, and starting with you, Charlie, would you give us tip one for what you think begins a quality practice session or a quality practice regime?
I personally would like to see more people work on their tempo, timing, and rhythm when they're practicing. Full swing, half speed, control the club and be more conscious on the driving range, and hit shots, you know, in between distances. I always had an exercise I like to give people. I'd put 60, I'd write 60 on one ball, 70 on the other next ball, and 80 on the next ball. And what that did is I want to use 60% of my swing speed, 70% of my swing speed, 80% of my swing speed, learn how to hit different distances, but then what speed is the best for you to produce the most solid shots? And I'd do that with a 7-iron. I think that's 10 to 15 minute warm-up is vital to any sport, especially golf.
Bill?
Well, I understand what Charlie's saying, and I think in the long run he's correct, but everybody wants to hit it farther. That's all they think about, is how far can they hit it. And ever since I got my teaching center and I have Flight Scope, I tell them Flight Scope's going to tell you how short you actually hit it. Nobody actually hit. I haven't had one amateur hit the ball as far as they said they did. Not one. In 2 years, not one of them hits a 7-iron as far as they say they do. And so to get them to do what Charlie wants them to do takes a lot of discipline, and the student has to be disciplined. But we can talk till we're blue in the face about it, but the bottom line is they're trying to hit it farther, but they don't know how to. They think they have to swing harder and do the opposite of what Charlie's talking about. And I find the speed comes from relaxed muscles, not tight muscles. And if you can loosen up a little bit, you'll get the club back a little bit further, and you'll start to experience some of the things that Charlie's talking about, really, in my view, effortless power instead of powerless effort. And you just have to teach the people how to do it, but a lot of the people don't want to do it. They resist this stuff because all they care about is how far they hit it. They really don't care about what they shoot, to be honest with you. I have this battle with my students every day about how are we going to pick up 3 or 4 shots in our handicap? How do we do that? Well, we have to evaluate where we're weak, or where our weaknesses are, and work on those. It's really actually pretty easy to get 3 or 4 shots better if you do it that way, but most of them are just trying to hit it as far as they can, has been my experience.
You know, that's well said. That's, you know, when you watch the Golf Channel, every other commercial is about distance, about gaining distance. And, you know, Golf Digest read an ad last week that talked about exactly what you said, Bill, that most people, you know, the average, 10 handicap is hitting at 220 off the tee. And if you talk to him, he thinks he's hitting at 280. How do you begin, you know, it sounds like these amateurs need to come to their teachers asking them for a program to help them Is it stretching? Is it, you know, like you said, I want to shoot better score. I don't care how far I hit it. I want to shoot a better score, and that needs to be, maybe that's our quality tip number one. What are you trying to accomplish this year? Is it really about scoring better or hitting it further?
It's all about solid face contact. And when you hit the ball solid with a 7-iron, walk it off and see how far you hit it. And it's probably going to be closer to 140 than it's to 150. Work on center face contact. That means a good setup, the proper distance from the golf ball, being able to swing under control with balance. You're going to hit a lot more solid shots and eliminate the bad ones, the ones out of control. And I guarantee you, you can see 4 or 5 shots go off the scorecard if you learn how to control the speed and effortless power, like Billy just said.
I like it. Hey, we're going to wrap up this segment. We got about 20 seconds left, and this heartbreak is being brought to you by Insperity and Smart Inspiring Small Business Performance. That's Bill Harmon and Charlie Epps. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Welcome back to Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on SB Nation Radio, 1560 AM live here in Houston. It's streaming on SB Nation Radio. You got to go back to this podcast because you're getting tips on how to have quality golf. Insperity is our sponsor, inspiring small business performance, 800-465-3800, Insperity.com. We've got Charlie from Casa de Campo, Bill Harmon from Palm Springs. You know, another great headline this week, we've got a lot going on in golf as it's kicking back off, is this reoccurring situation with Rory McIlroy talking about the Olympics. Bill, what give us your thoughts on where this is going and what's happening here.
Well, I think he clarified why he didn't play. He's from Northern Ireland, and he basically said he didn't really have an allegiance to Ireland or England, and that it created a lot of conflict with him, and it was difficult for him to make a choice on who he wanted to represent. And I think in retrospect, had he explained that at the time, I think people would have understood his position. But instead, he threw out the Zika comment and then the fact that the Olympics have no meaning to him. And I think in retrospect, had he just told the truth, people would have been more understanding. I actually thought the comments he made last week were quite interesting. Something I would never thought of, to feel like you weren't really a member of either country or either team. And being born in America, I would have never had to make that decision. So once I heard his explanation of it, I seemed to have a little more understanding of where he was coming from. I just don't know why he didn't say that at the start. Maybe he said he felt a lot of pressure and people kept bugging him about it, and he probably said went one step too far when he said the Olympics didn't mean anything to him. He regretted that, but I wish he would have just explained his reasoning right off the start, because I thought it was an interesting thing that he had to go through.
And Charlie, you being from...
Charlie?
Yeah, what do you think, Charlie?
Well, I think it's interesting, and what Billy says, I agree with 100%, but the mayor of the city where they're going to host the Olympics in 4 years, and they're going to have golf, and she wants to make sure that the ladies are going to play. I guess that hasn't been determined, but what's interesting is the golf course that they pick on Sundays, ladies can't play.
Wow.
So they got another, you know, problem inside the Olympics, making the right decisions at the right time. So time will only tell. I think there's so many sports going on today. Some of the, you know, Olympic activities are watered down because of past drug problems. It's been overplayed, over commercialized. We'll have to just see what happens in a few years. The Olympic Committee's got to be more professional in its decisions moving forward.
Well, and obviously, you know, politics has affected the Olympics over the years, and I agree, Bill, that you know, Rory's reflection did help clarify it, and would have sure helped if that had been brought out earlier. But you know, Charlie, you spend time all over the world. You've spent time living in multiple countries growing up, and then through your adult life. Do you see with that feeling? Do you see the Olympics and golf staying past this trial period? Do you think it makes it?
Yeah, I think Olympics is going to be a part of the golf is going to be a part of the Olympics moving forward. I think it showed quite well, and you know, we're trying to grow the game and get more people, you know, interested in it. And I'm down here in the Dominican Republic. The local people, you know, they want to represent their country, and we keep promoting it. It'll be a very nice sport for the Olympic Games. You know, I love the Olympics. You know, I like boxing. I don't think there's a better race in the world than the 100 meters.
Yeah.
For the fastest man in the world, Carl Lewis from Houston, you know, he did he did such a great job being Olympian. And so you go back through the one thing that's interesting, a couple years ago, Ankel and I went behind what was the Iron Curtain in Bulgaria, and they had a spring shop out in the town square selling a lot of things that really were from the World War II. And I picked up two stopwatches with the Olympic signal on it from when Jesse Owens won the Olympics during Hitler's reign. And I cherish those things. You know, that really represents a lot of history. So, you know, golf is a worldwide sport, and the kids are dominating from Southeast Asia and so on and so forth. So far be it from me to criticize the golf being in the Olympics. I want it to be in the Olympics.
Hey, Charlie, do you think Angel would have played in his prime had the Olympics played in 10 or 12 years?
Yes. Angel was a little upset with himself for not making the Olympic team. He wanted to be on that team. And I think the only thing they did wrong in Argentina, they should have appointed Angel the captain of the Argentine team. But the two young guys, Fabian Gomez and Emiliano Grillo, represented their country. But yes, Angel wanted to be part of that Olympic scene.
You guys, as we're talking worldwide golf, this week it was also announced that Jim Furyk has been named the Ryder Cup captain. Bill, I'd love your thoughts on Furyk, his captainship, and also the PGA's tact that if you're going to be captain, you're going to be vice captain first. You think they're finally catching on something? Because I think that's kind of the precedence that the President's Cup has set over the last few years.
Well, not only that, the Ryder Cup, the European Ryder Cup, has been doing it for 30 years right under their nose. And they didn't pick up on it. You know, Tony Jacklin was the captain for three or four teams, and then Bernhard Gallagher. And they were grooming these things, and they created some continuity, which is what the Americans have done in the President's Cup. I think Charlie will agree with this at many times. Has the international team in the President's Cup been a stronger team than the European Ryder Cup team? And the Americans win that regularly. But I think Jim Furyk is a great choice. I've seen him up close as a caddy for Jay Haas. We've been partnered with him. I was on a support team with him last year in South Korea. He was a vice captain, and I was a gopher. I watched him up close. I would say that Jim Furyk, my time with Jim in South Korea was one of the highlights of my golfing career. I spent one day with him, riding around, watching practice rounds. We talked about everything. He will be incredibly thorough. He has a tremendous respect of the players and his peers. But the bottom line, if the team doesn't putt good, it's not going to work out for him.
You're so right. By the way. I think it was a great pick. Jim has distinguished himself for many, many years, doing all the right things. He has a great sense of family, and he has his own foundations. But more importantly, he's a true competitor, and I'm happy for his mom and dad. His dad was, his golf professional, PGA golf professional. And then I got to give credit to PGA of America. The president of the PGA of America happens to be right there at Toscano, Bill, and Paul Levy real well. They saw the light. They turned over the power to the players. The task force turned out to be very good. And now the players of the modern day, Tom Watson is just too far removed from being the captain. He had the right ideas, but he didn't have any association with the present-day players. So I think it's all good, and Jim would do a wonderful job. And like you say, whether you win or lose, it's just the competition. I think it's going to be great.
Well said. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're going to take a break here in a minute. That's Bill Harmon, Charlie Epps on SB Nation Radio.
The This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Welcome back to Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, inspiring small business performance. 800-465-3800 or Insperity.com. We're joined from Palm Springs by Bill Harmon. Charlie Epps is down in Casa de Campo. Had a good morning talking about everything from Rory and the Olympics, Justin Thomas. You guys, I want to start with you, Charlie. As you walked with Angel as he won the Masters, there's all this feedback coming out from Jordan Spieth's camp about how he went back and played. He played his practice rounds. He talked specifically about the par three and the struggles he had there and what he shot there. What does that tell you about his mindset as he's getting ready for Augusta, that he's already back on that hole that created his downfall in the way he lost the tournament this year?
Well, you know, all of the great golfers have a mind that is so strong that they have the ability. You've got to forget about the past and move forward. You learn from it, and you don't ignore it. You recognize it, and that's what Rory did. But, you know, golf is just, you know, how good you are the next day, and you've got to move forward. There's been a lot of guys, Ed Snead, who bogeyed the last three holes to lose the Masters, and that stayed with him for so long afterwards. Those defeats are so, you know, so mind-boggling difficult. But guys like Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, you know, he lost the U.S. Open that way. So selective memory, and let's move on and forget about the past but learn from it.
Bill, what do you think?
Well, you know, the shot that he hit in the water off the tee, many, many people have done that over the years. I think the shot that was most shocking was his wedge shot, where he laid the sod over it and barely reached Gray's Creek. I think the shot in the water, Charlie, you and I have been there for years, that is not that uncommon on that hole.
No, I look at
just the residual effect of having a five-shot lead going to the 10th hole and then going bogey, bogey, quad. I thought 10 and 11 is where the undoing started for me. But I have unbelievable faith in Jordan Spieth. I think he's an exceptional young man. Sure, he's human. He'll probably have a couple demons he'll have to overcome, but they're not going to define him. That tournament will not define who Jordan Spieth is. He's going to take adversity, learn from it, and get better. And it'll just be a bump in the road of his career, which already, by the way, is fantastic. And so I'm a big Jordan Spieth fan. He has no history of failing, really, and falling off the map. And he had a heck of a year last year, really. Most people were expecting him to play the way he did the year before. I was not. The year before, he played golf like nobody almost ever had in major championships. So, big Jordan Spieth fan. I don't think that'll be a big deal. He's got a good team in place that's been with him for years, and I would imagine they're really not that worried about it.
And so, do you like the approach? You like talking about the score? You like the way he's handling this so far?
Well, I think he was probably asked about it. You know, he's going to be asked about it a lot, and so these answers are probably pretty canned. Well, I played there last month, and I made two twos, and
yeah,
this and that. So we're going to bring it up more than he's going to bring it up. He'll deal with it. It's part of being a pro golfer. You don't play good every week.
Right.
You know, yesterday he missed a putt on the 16th hole. He said, you know, if I was putting good, I'd be a pretty good player today. So it's all part of playing golf. It doesn't go your way every time you want it to go your way. That's why I think the weekend will be interesting for Justin Thomas. You know, what if he starts driving it sideways all of a sudden? You know, right now he's driving it. It's perfect and everything's going good. What will happen if he, you know, hits it out of bounds on one of the first three or four holes? So I always look to see what happens when adversity strikes. And I thought that Jordan handled it well. He came back and won a couple tournaments, had a good year. He's going to be asked about it ad nauseum until the Masters. And I'm sure he'll have his answers already prepared. And I'd be very surprised if he makes another seven there next year. This year, I'll be honest with you.
Charlie, in the last couple minutes, what are you looking for this weekend from Justin?
Well, he's a hot player. I think he can close the deal. He closed the deal last week in Tournament of Champions. The history of those two tournaments, Jimmy Walker won both events. You go to all the great players, they get hot, and he's definitely hot, and he's having that out-of-body experience. He'll close the deal.
I like it. I like it. Bill, what? How was Bill Haas? Last week, he shared with us he came and was working with you before he went over there. What are you looking for, Bill, this year?
Well, you know, it was very interesting. One of the things he said was that he was 33rd in the world rankings, and that the first world golf event down in Mexico, you have to be in the top 50, and. His wife is going to have a baby in 2 weeks, so he's had to adjust his schedule, and he was thinking about the top 50. So I like his sense of urgency. And a friend of mine said, well, you're 33rd. And he said, well, it doesn't take long to start falling if some players behind you play well. And I have an abbreviated schedule, and I don't play well these next few weeks. You know, it's going to start moving me towards the bubble, and I don't want to be in the bubble.
Yeah.
And he did mention something that I hadn't realized. He's played in every world championship event the last 6 years, which means the last 6 years he's never fallen out of the top 50, which means that he's never really fallen off the map. And I haven't gotten the statistic. I probably should. But I bet there's no more than 15 players that have played in every world golf event the last
Hey guys, we've got to wrap
that statement.
Yeah, that's, and we want to talk about that next week. This has been the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.